Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
High noon, Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. That was Sunday Night Football last night. Cameo by, I think, one-time Haas of the Week winner here on Jones and Keefe, right? Debo was a Haas of the Week?
Debo was. When we were at Camp Bragg earlier this year, we were at the joint practice for the Commanders, and one thing that jumped out to us was the sheer size of Debo Samuel.
Yeah.
He was a Haas.
Still has some speed, though.
Yeah, he's still a good player, I think.
Yeah, I didn't see that coming when we saw him at, training camp.
No, but turns out
the guy can still make plays. Mm-hmm. I stand by, honestly, the play call, but really just the decision to go for two in overtime. That became just an interminable game to watch last night. Now, part of it is it's approaching midnight on the East Coast. I didn't think it was going to be much of a game. Like, that's not one, Keith, that I went into going, I'm going to watch all of Sunday Night Football. I assume the Broncos.
Yeah.
Dangerous assumption.
Right.
Because they beat no one handily. But and that includes the Raiders and the Jets and like some real awful teams. I assume the Broncos would go in and take care of business and I wouldn't be up watching that game. And it was a slow drag with players getting hurt and tons of penalties and reviews. And it just took a long time down the stretch. But ultimately, what was nearly what I would say a perfect weekend for the Pats.
Yeah, everything's coming up Pats last couple of weeks.
That was the one thing that kind of went against the grain. It started way back on Thanksgiving. Chiefs losing, Ravens losing. It continued throughout much of the day with the Colts losing early in the day. I guess the Buffalo Bills won a game.
Yeah, you can't have everything.
They're still looming in the division, but I feel like they're already dead in the division. So this was the one big swing potentially yesterday that didn't come up in the Pats' favor. But even still, the Broncos, by a tiebreaker, are the one seed in the AFC. Pats can get it back with a win tonight over the Giants. Both teams are 10-2. The Broncos have the tiebreaker based on win percentage in common games, which, as you said, Keith, pretty much comes down to the Pats losing that Raiders game week one.
Right, right.
But they can get the one seed back. That's the one swing. And even still, the Broncos have won, 9 in a row, and they've won 4 straight games by a combined 10 points. So it feels like they're teetering, just like it felt like the Colts were teetering for a while.
So I like the Broncos a little bit more or a lot bit more than some of these other teams I'm about to say, but it feels similar where I think the Broncos, despite having now a 9-game winning streak and a 10-2 record, it feels like there's a couple of losses on the horizon. Just the way they've been playing and how thin the margin has been. Because when the Colts were in first place, when the Steelers were in first place, and honestly, even when this Ravens run with Lamar back, it's like, I don't really trust any of those teams. It didn't look right. And now the Colts have lost 2 in a row, the Steelers have lost 2 in a row, and the Ravens just lost. So I think Denver would be a tougher matchup than all those teams, right? They have a coach, even though he's not my favorite. He's been there, done that. They have a defense that's really, really good. They have an offense that seems to be clutch. Like, I don't know how good the offense is, but like the offense is pretty clutch, and when they need it, they could score. I mean, you saw it last night. They go to overtime. They get the ball. They go down the field and score.
March right down and score on the opening drive. Yep.
They do have a little bit of that, but as far as just the you know, what's their record going to be at the end of the year versus what the Patriots' record is going to be. I don't know. I still have confidence that the Patriots are going to finish the season stronger than Denver is. So, and I know last night, I mean, a win's a win, and you could say, all right, how? But it's been multiple three-point wins, one-point win, overtime wins. Like, it's amazing the run that they've been on.
So you do look at it, and let's just stick with common opponents here for a moment, because the text line said earlier, this is how I feel about the Patriots. Like, what you guys are saying about the Broncos, you could say the same thing about the Pats, which is probably true. Pats have had some close wins in there. Like, the Jets game, even though they won by 13 and they covered, the Jets were driving late to make that a one-score game. That wasn't a beatdown. The Bengals game last week, you were sweating out right down to the final drive with Joe Flacco. One possession game against the Bucs, 1-point win against the Falcons. So the last month, it's not like the Patriots are smoking anybody either.
True.
But you look at some of the common opponents mixed in here. So Denver week one beat Tennessee, and it was 20-12. 8-point win. The Pats destroyed Tennessee, 31-13. Other common opponents in here. Cincinnati, they beat handily, 28-3. Mm-hmm. You barely won last week.
So now it's a wash.
The Jets, they barely beat, 13-11.
Barely.
They did beat the Raiders. You lost to them.
Yeah.
But that was ugly.
Yeah.
We'll see about the Giants. They barely beat the Giants. They had to come way back in that game. And you play the Giants tonight, so we'll see how that goes. But those are some of the common opponents. Like, even when they've matched up, save for that Raiders one, which I don't want to throw it out. It happened. But it was week one. It was the first game with Vrabel, first start of the year for Drake May in year two. So maybe they just weren't quite firing on all cylinders. We want to give them an out or call it more fluky than anything. But it does count at the end of the day. They didn't play well against the Raiders either. And some of these other games, you won more handily than they did.
For sure. And I also think it might come down to, too, if you think two teams are pretty similar, like, which quarterback do you like more? And at the very beginning of the season, I might have said Bo Nix just because of the season Bo Nix had a year ago, got his team to the playoffs. But I think it was pretty quickly as the this season was unfolding. You're like, no, Drake May has surpassed him. Drake May.
Drop back, do it to the other team.
But we had the conversation, like, he's the best quarterback from last year's draft class. And, you know, Jaden Daniels can say, well, it's a little bit incomplete right now because of the injuries. Whatever. As of right now, he's playing the best out of all those guys. So if you think everything else is pretty similar, and maybe it'd be a game where if it's in Denver, maybe you'd pick Denver. If it's in New England, maybe you'd pick New England. And that's what it's kind of coming down to. But I think usually a good tiebreaker would be quarterback. I would also take the coach. Now, you can argue Sean Payton won a Super Bowl. He's like a 500 playoff.
That's a good point.
Coach.
I like the Patriots coach quarterback combo better.
Yeah.
But now individually, who do I like better? I definitely take May over Nix. Would I take Vrabel over Sean Payton?
I've just never really liked Sean Payton. But
I would too. But I gotta logically defend it. And Sean Payton was in the playoffs last year. He's won a Super Bowl. Vrabel does not have that kind of resume.
No, he's 9-9 in the playoffs. So, I mean, that's 9 playoff wins is another way of looking at it too, right? So he has way more experience just as a head coach in general, let alone a playoff head coach, than Vrabel. But I don't know. I would still take Vrabel.
Okay, Broncos finish out with at Vegas. Who they barely beat Vegas at home.
They did, but
second game against Vegas, that one
win.
I'd give it to them. Then it's home against Green Bay. Still Toyotathon on December 14th.
Yep, it's still going. Let's hope so. Jordan Love, look good.
Jordan Love loves Toyotathon.
Look good. I think Micah Parsons can maybe bother Bo Nix a little bit.
Jacksonville on the 21st. Jacksonville's 8-4.
They look tough.
As of right now, they're winning that division. The Colts are a wild card
scrappy
team.
Scrappy.
Jags are winning that division.
And the Broncos win.
At KC on Christmas Day. And then home against the LA Chargers to finish it out in week 18.
That might cost the Chargers a playoff spot. I mean, the Chargers and Chiefs, you would imagine, are playing must-win games in those spots. That is a tough schedule outside of the Raiders game. I think they probably have 1-2 losses in that stretch. I bet they go 3-2 over the final.
Okay, so if they go 3-2, you have to win tonight, obviously.
You can only lose one, depending on the tiebreaker.
Split against Buffalo and Baltimore, and then win the last two against the Jets and Dolphins, who you should beat, but both those teams, I would also say, are playing better.
Although, if you do, not to get too into the weeds on this, if they end up, say, the Broncos lose to the Packers, that's now an NFC loss, whereas if the Patriots lose to the Bills, now the tiebreaker
that's
is really in their favor, so that's, I know, it's a pain.
Right, because right now they both have the same conference record, but so a lot can swing, and what isn't a Patriots tiebreaker right now, and is advantage Broncos, could turn over the final 5 weeks, but that's a good shorthand, Keith. Hope the Broncos drop two, you split with Buffalo and Baltimore, and take care of the other games, you're the one seed. And you're in the driver's seat in the AFC. I do think the takeaway for me, watching the NFL without a Patriots game on a Sunday is just a different experience. Like, you're locked in on the Pats when they're playing Sunday at 1 most weeks. So you don't get a chance to watch all the 1 o'clock games. This is also a great week to do it because you had the 3 Thursday games on Thanksgiving. You had the Friday game. You had all the games yesterday, all day to watch it. You could do it again next weekend. You could do it a few weeks ago when the Pats were on Thursday Night Football.
Yeah.
A real good opportunity to, like, take a gauge of the rest of the league. The team going into the weekend that we thought was playing the best, and I would have said, yep, that team, I get it. If you think they are the clear-cut favorite and maybe the Pats can't hang with them, I would have given you the L.A. Rams. Well, they lost to Carolina.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
Who the Patriots destroyed earlier this year. Stafford, I don't think, lost the MVP, but all
he
of a sudden,
competitive again.
That's neck and neck now with him and Drake May, if you look at some of the betting futures and if you care about that. And with a statement game tonight on Monday Night Football, May can help himself quite a bit.
Oh, yeah.
Sitting as the only 11-win team and a big game on Monday Night Football, maybe he takes that back. And we come in tomorrow and talk about him as the clear-cut MVP. But it felt like going into the weekend, the Rams had nosed in front. They're not. I mean, the Eagles just lost to the Bears, as we saw. Chiefs and Ravens lost over the weekend. Buffalo won but didn't look great. Seattle, I thought, won but didn't look great. I mean, they won 26-0. I didn't think they looked good at all. The Vikings are horrendous, maybe playing the worst football in the league, certainly the worst quarterback play in the league. So my big takeaway from watching the game is the Pats can play with anyone, and I really do think it's wide open. You said earlier the league might be the most wide open it's ever been.
I think it is.
A lot of that has to do with Mahomes and the Chiefs just completely falling off.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I think at the start of the year, we looked at the 4 big quarterbacks in the AFC, and we're like, all right, it's going to go through these 4, specifically Mahomes, but then those other 3 are going to be sort of jockeying for it. You had your MVP and MVP runner-up from a year ago, like all those guys. Well, Burrow misses a ton of games. Lamar's missed time that doesn't look right. Josh Allen, the Bills have put everything on Josh Allen, so he has been having to do so much, and he's got him at 8-4, but they don't look like a shoe-in Super Bowl contender. And then everything that's going on with the Kansas City Chiefs. So it's wide open. I mean, the fact that the quarterbacks for the number 1 seeds in each conference right now are Bo Nix and Caleb Williams, that's pretty eye-opening. It's not Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, or Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady,
right,
or Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady. Like, for so many years, you kind of had a feeling who the top teams were going to be. And, yeah, upsets here and there, but you could sort of pencil in certain quarterbacks and their teams, led by Brady, to be there. Whereas now, I mean, a Super Bowl rematch seems wildly unlikely. Chiefs are the 10 seed in the AFC, and the Eagles are, like, going the other way.
Playing like crap.
Right. So it's like, it could be any different variation, which is what I think they've wanted in the NFL for so long. I mean, they put in, the way they make the schedule tells you, this is what they desperately want. They want a month to go in the season, and as many as, like, 10 teams contending, which I think you can probably make the case now.
Yeah, I mean,
like, there's not a single team you would say, give me them versus the field. You'd take the field every time. You could even give me 2 teams, and I think I'd still take the field.
The Chiefs right now are 6-6. They're 2 games out of a playoff spot. Have they lost to all these 8-4 teams? Hang on. So they lost.
Oh, maybe.
Did they lose to, I'm sorry, they just beat the Colts. What am I talking about? They beat the Colts, but earlier this year they lost to the Chargers. And and they lost to Buffalo. So, like, they're not going to have a tiebreaker with those teams.
All right, so Super Bowl favorites.
I still think if the Chiefs get in, I would still fear them for all the things you just said. Like, Brady in a big game, Mahomes in a big, if they get it, they're running out of time to get in. Losing to the Cowboys.
It's over.
I'm not saying it's over, but just that they're running out of time to get that work done. They're 2 games back, and they've lost some of these head-to-head games against teams that they're going to be chasing.
All right, the Super Bowl favorite still, even after the loss, is the LA Rams.
Okay.
So if I was like, LA Rams or the field.
What are they at, just out of curiosity?
Plus 470.
Okay, so right there to me, that tells you there's no super favorite
plus
470.
But I was
like,
Rams or the field, you'd take the field.
I would definitely take the field.
The second highest odds are the Seattle Seahawks at plus 850.
They're in the same division?
They are. If I gave you Rams and Seahawks or the field,
I would still take field.
Okay. The third team, Green Bay Packers.
Field.
All right. Fourth team, Eagles.
Field.
Yeah. Fifth team, Bills. Now I'm like, all right, I have probably the NFC contender and the Bills. Maybe you'd have to go 5 down. Then it's Broncos, then it's Pats.
Yeah. I mean, I'd probably hold out until I got like Broncos and Pats. Honestly.
Give me like 7 teams,
so
then I'll take that.
I agree with you. It's wide open.
Yeah.
And that, by the way, does not mean the Patriots are a lock to win.
No.
But when you say, could the Patriots win it all this year?
Why not us?
Well, yeah.
It's a why not
they
us.
They absolutely could. What other team are you going to plant the flag on? Like, who is it going to be? And I think the common answer going into the weekend would have been the Rams. Now, look, if the Patriots do the same thing the Rams do tonight, you're allowed to lose a game. Broncos, you're allowed to lose a game. Rams, you're allowed to lose a game. You're going to stub your toe. You're not going to win out. Maybe that happens to the Patriots tonight. I wouldn't forecast it. I don't think it's going to happen, but maybe. And maybe we look at it differently. Going into the weekend, that team was the Rams. They lost. So I don't see how you can't think the Patriots have a shot to win it all this year. They're not the favorite. You just heard the odds there. But I don't know how you couldn't believe that watching the league. If you watched it closely yesterday, maybe you were doing other things. Maybe you were driving around on your way back from Thanksgiving. But if you watched it, I don't know how that can't be your takeaway from the weekend.
I got some other odds that might be good for us. So you know how we're doing the Jones O'Keefe playoff predictor?
Yes.
So the
it's binary. It's either 0 or 100. Yeah.
To miss the playoffs, the Colts are plus 225. That would be a buying opportunity.
That is a big time buying opportunity.
The Chargers are plus 126 to miss the playoffs. I mean, you can parlay those bad boys together. Well, I don't know if you can.
Well, the Colts one more time though.
You can parlay those together.
The Colts finish at Jacksonville, at Seattle. They go
they're out.
Home against the Niners.
See ya.
Home against Jacksonville at Houston.
They're out. They're out making the playoffs.
Honestly, we may have said too much. We might have to lock that bet in right now before we change the odds.
Hurry up. Yeah, plus 225 to miss the playoffs.
Nick, what were you telling us about Colts and Jags?
Oh.
The Colts have not won in Jacksonville since September of 2014.
Wow. So are they due? Or is it just like, is Jacksonville like lock of the week on Sunday? It's at Jacksonville this Sunday.
I feel like that has to be the play.
Imagine September 21st, 2014 is the last time.
Imagine they trade two first round picks for Sauce Gardner. Everybody loves their owner with her headset and her glitzy jackets.
I kind of do like her.
And they don't even make the playoffs.
No.
Like, imagine that.
The notes she's taking when she fires everybody. She's like, guys, what the hell happened? Yeah. I was here taking notes. Everything was going great.
Well, I would say some of that's probably on her. She's on headset. She's taking notes. They don't sound like very good notes if the team falls apart.
I guess not.
I would say that.
Would they start the year 7-1?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this show, famously, we get a lot of stuff wrong. This show famously never believed in that.
We said they were a fake 7-1. People were getting mad on the tiers or commenting on, like 3 weeks late on the tiers.
State
like,
you guys don't even watch football. The whole state of Indiana was ready to come after
us.
But in your face. Real quick, before we go to our pal Chuck in New Hampshire.
Yes.
John Dowd is being suggested for our top five misses.
Ooh,
was John Dowd. I had to Google this quickly.
That was Barry Bonds in the
MVP baseball.
And he wouldn't license baseball. His name.
Right.
So John Dowd was nice.
Was John Dowd good?
He's Bonds.
He's basically Bonds. Okay. John Dowd.
Well, Bonds didn't make your list. Bonds or Dowd, who would be on a top five Giants list?
I went with Willie Mays. I mean, it's the baseball historian in me. I went Mays, but then I'd go Dowd, Bonds.
Bonds is more of a pirate. You go John.
I put him in my top five Pirates.
That makes sense.
I wasn't having both.
If you missed our top five all-time Giants, by the way, these are all-time Giants.
All-time Giants.
It's at Jones and Keith.
Haggard's on my list.
On Twitter and Instagram. Notorious Steelers fan Courtney Cox applauded that.
That's what I heard.
She liked that on the
Steelers
list.
Steelers gear?
Did. Yes, she did. Mm-hmm.
She was wearing a Plexico Burris jersey.
Our good pal Chuck is in New Hampshire. What's up, Chuck?
Hey, boys. Good to talk to you. Real quick, last year I called in, wished you guys a happy holidays and a happy new year, and I think you guys thought I was being sarcastic that I loved the show. But again, just wanted to say congrats on your first full calendar year.
Thank you.
How dare you, Chuck?
Hope there's many more laughs coming soon in the next year.
Same.
But, to my actual point, so the Broncos, I feel like this Broncos team has really given me either, like, the 2015 Broncos vibe or last year's Chiefs, where every miraculous way you could come out with a win, whether it's, like, blocking a field goal or a goal line stand on a two-point conversion in overtime and just squeaking out wins in every which way. I'm not going to lie. It's making me a little bit nervous. And even though I think Drake May is superior, when you look at the defense-to-defense matchup, I obviously think their defense can give Drake May much more fits than what we could do against Bo Nix. I don't know what you guys think about that, but thanks.
I would tend to agree with that, Chuck.
Interesting parallel. So 15 was the year that Manning got benched for Brock Osweiler, then came back. Obviously, they beat the Patriots in the conference championship game, then beat Cam Newton in the Super Bowl. So they won the Super Bowl that year. And I was just looking this up. They were 7-0 to start the year, and it was mostly from the defense. And then they lost back-to-back games. Then they beat the Bears by 2. They beat the Patriots in overtime.
Yeah, that was
week 12.
Was it C.J. Anderson?
I was just going to say, who was the running back? Who was
that? C.J. Anderson and Emmanuel Sanders had a big game. Then they beat San Diego. Then they lost back-to-back games in December to Oakland and Pittsburgh. Then they beat Cincinnati by in overtime, and then they beat San Diego by a touchdown to get to 12-4, and then played all close playoff games.
They beat the crap out of Brady in that playoff game.
Yeah, but they only beat him by 2 points.
And then, it came down to a two-point conversion at the end, and then they beat Cam and Carolina.
Cam, like, 24-10. So,
there's a fine line between clutch and lucky, and on the one hand, you got to say what Chuck and Hampshire just said. Well, it comes down to a two-point conversion. I mean, that's a brilliant play by Benito. And I 100% would have gone for it there from Washington. What else do you have to lose? It's late in overtime. Like, you might as well go for it.
It's still surprising that Washington could score a touchdown against the Broncos in overtime.
It's Mariota.
Yeah.
Or, sorry. Mariota.
Mariota.
Or whatever it is now. But, it was a good play call. It was the right decision. Benito makes a great play. And you do have to give the Broncos that. Maybe they're lucky, but they keep making these plays week after week after week. 617-779-7937. We did not have a Friday show. We do have a game tonight, Patriots and Giants, which means we'll get to what is typically the Friday four-pack on a Monday. We'll call it the Monday four-pack. Four-pack of questions for you, Pats and Giants, right after
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Trending with Billy. It's the Monday four-pack.
How about that?
Here on Jones and Keefe. I was not ready for
the production value.
Production wizardry of Nick LeBan back there.
Sorcerer.
But the Monday 4-Pack is brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork. You can visit Jackson Lumber and Millwork for all your residential remodeling or commercial building materials and supplies at Jackson Lumber and Millwork, providing solutions and delivering results since 1946. If you're a Monday listener, not a Friday listener, on Jones and Keefe, first of all, what are you doing? Yeah. And second of all, every Friday, we get you a 4-pack of questions for that weekend's game. Games tonight. So we got a 4-pack of questions today on a Monday. What's first up, Bill?
What one player off the Giants would you most want on the Patriots?
Ooh.
This is an example of a bad team that actually has a bunch of options. We've had a few games this year where we didn't really want anybody.
Wait, we're not taking like Malik Neighbors and Cam Scataboo because they're hurt, right?
I'm taking Malik Neighbors.
Oh, you are? Okay.
Yeah, I'd take Malik.
It's a long-term play.
Right out the injury.
Not for tonight's game.
No, not for tonight's game. For the future, like his contract and whatever else, just add him to the team. Malik Neighbors. 1,200 yards, over 100 catches last year with a terrible team. And like was emerging as one of the great like young receivers, maybe even like a top 10 receiver. Unfortunately, he's hurt, but his skill level, I'd take him.
So
I mean, you can answer any way you want. Just off their roster, I would take him.
I love Neighbors. I love Scataboo. I feel better about Neighbors coming back from his injury than Scataboo. Never mind. What's his shelf life when he comes back?
Short.
Two more years.
Yeah,
and then he's done. I'll go with Abdul Carter, though, who we liked in draft season. Again, only a half sack this year. I think you're going to see tonight he's impacting quarterbacks a lot more than that would lead you to believe. So he's probably due to run into some of those. Meanwhile, he is – what's his nickname again? He's Darth Vader.
Darth Vader. sleeps back to tank.
Sleeps at a back to tank.
Yeah.
So
need more than half a sack though.
I would like that, but I do feel like this team has a need at pass rush.
Yeah.
And he'd be another guy where he would fit in the Vrabel defense, I guess you could debate, but he'd be another guy you could throw into the mix. So I liked Abdul Carter in draft season. Mm-hmm. That's a guy I would want here on the Patriots.
Well, Burns.
Mainly because he's not hurt. Well, the man will speak his mind.
I think he's also like third in the league in sacks.
Oh, he's second. Burns? He's got 13.
Oh, does he have that many?
Yeah.
13. Yeah, no, Burns so is nice.
Look, good player. I was with him on Mac Jones. Me and him, like, you know. We bonded over Mac Jones and his criticism there. I'm less with him on his critique of Drake May, which you'll hear again coming up.
I would go him second. I would go Neighbors, Burns.
You'd go him over Carter.
Carter, yeah.
Oh, so I would not.
Burns is pretty young. I mean, I know he's got a lot of money there, so there is that. But I think if Carter is Burns, I think that'd be a good 4-year run for Carter.
Work out well.
Yeah.
Okay, so who would you want off the Giants? Keep going with Neighbors. I'm going with Carter. What else, Billy?
What all-time Giants jersey would you most want?
This is a tough one because this is one of the – there's probably like four teams maybe that just you wouldn't wear the jersey for.
Right.
Like I'm all for like, hey, favorite player on another team, great, whatever, or a cool jersey. But like Giants, Jets, Steelers would not wear their stuff.
No.
But with that said, to answer the question, it might be like – I don't know because like LT's too –
Yeah,
too popular. Look, it's a good one, though.
Here's the issue, though. It's like they have...
Mark Bavaro?
Okay, good one.
Yeah.
Local guy?
Yeah.
Belichick loves him.
Loves him.
So,
maybe
like,
Bavaro.
LT, bad guy. On top of that, you have like Strahan and Eli. And got like you're never gonna wear those. Like, oh, give me a David Tyree jersey.
Yeah, right.
So like, I don't like Rodney Hampton.
Hampton's good. Like Jeff Hostetler?
Good
mustache.
Hostetler with the Giants, pretty good.
Yep.
You wouldn't want a Phil Simms one.
No. No,
so,
definitely not.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Rodney, honestly, that was like one of the first names that came to mind.
Yeah.
Why am I blanking on
Steve DiAssi?
Oh, good one.
I'd wear a Steve DiAssi jersey.
Good one. Yeah. Wait, Steve? Yeah, Steve and
Zach.
Thank you, Zach.
Yeah.
You can wear both.
Wear them at the same time, for all I care.
No.
I think younger generation would say, like, Odell Beckham.
Who was the other running back? Oh, that's actually
Odell
a good
Beckham
one.
Was a good one.
Who's the other running back from Michigan that they had? I feel like in like the Rodney Hampton era. Wheatley?
Oh, they had Tyron Wheatley?
Tyron Wheatley?
Yeah,
I like Tyron Wheatley.
He was a big back.
He was a hoss.
He was a goal line back.
I would say so. I didn't mind Tyron Wheatley.
Because they had, what, Josh Jacobs? They had, like, Tiki Barber, obviously. Ahmad Bradshaw.
Wait, Josh Jacobs. Brandon Jacobs.
No, they did not have Josh Jacobs.
Brandon Jacobs. Yeah.
A little thunder and lightning.
Oh, that guy would slam it into the end zone. Tiki Barber?
Yeah.
Okay.
You had all those guys.
All right.
Yeah, it's a tough one. Really, in the history of the thing, you'd have to go, like, Lawrence Taylor or, like, Frank Gifford. You have to go like way back.
It's a good point. Like, we're playing the game, so you have to answer it.
Yeah.
But would you really want a Giants jersey?
No, you could never wear one.
It's a good point.
Yep.
Okay. What else, Billy?
Who should be the next Giants head coach?
Okay, not Bill Belichick.
I don't think it's going to be Bill. It should be Lane Kiffin.
Josina Anderson seems to think it might be Bill Belichick. She's hinting at it pretty strongly.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to be the case.
Which, if any of his four wins this year, was Mara's
favorite.
Good
point.
Uh-huh.
Chip Kelly somehow is getting the Kentucky job. You see that? That was at least the report over the weekend, or some of the reporting over the weekend. So Chip Kelly's going to get that job. He went from failing with the Raiders to getting the Kentucky job. So he's out. Lane Kiffin's out.
What about John Gruden?
Gruden?
Bring him back. It was starting to turn around in the Raiders, and then he had old emails got him fired.
Yeah.
He's turning around a little bit. Or do you go, like, younger?
Well, so I was going to say, like, maybe Flores, but then are they going to bring in another Bill guy, like Belichick guy?
No,
you can't.
I don't think you can do that.
You can't. They can't. Like, they specifically
can't.
Wasn't
Flores the other Brian that Bill was texting
about? Oh, yeah, we've joked about this before.
Yes.
Like, you can't bring in,
oh,
like.
No, he wouldn't even interview with them, probably.
You can't bring in, like, Josh McDaniels.
No.
So, like, who? Who's
just keep Kafka?
Yeah, maybe. Who's, like, the next Rams guy? I don't know. I don't have a great read on.
Mike LaFleur?
Is it?
I think he's the OC.
Okay, maybe. Honestly, that's probably the
Mike
right answer.
LaFleur.
Just go. The Rams are playing well despite their losses past week. Just go to like the next McVay guy. That's probably the right move to pair with Jackson Dart, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, man. My knee jerk before was like
Nick
Sirianni.
Nick Sirianni when he gets fired.
Yeah, I don't think I want him either. Like, that's a tough one. I think that it should be pretty appealing though to other coaches because you see how quick the turnaround was with like Drake May and Caleb Williams.
Honestly,
and,
are they a bad, like, say McDermott got fired, or Sirianni, I was joking about. Like, are they a bad candidate for that type of coach? Oh, what
just
about
get somebody that gets fired this year?
McCarthy? Mike McCarthy? Like, that's another failed head coach you could come in and bring with a
maybe
good young
Mike
quarterback.
McCarthy, honestly, actually, that's a good one. I think he could get them back up to like a respectable level. Yeah, McCarthy probably stands out because he at least had success as a head coach. He's not just the offensive coordinator success.
Well,
guy.
And they've tried that guy. They've tried like the offensive coordinator guy with Daboll. It didn't really work. It's a new quarterback now. It was Daniel Jones. Now it's Dart. But yeah, I wonder if they need more like reclamation project.
That's not
head
bad.
Coach.
Yeah, because I mean they have a pretty intriguing young pieces on their team. I mean, some of these, when at the end of the year, the teams that are looking for head coaches that, or the teams that finish with anywhere between 2 and 5 losses, they're not going to have the quarterback, wide receiver, running back, pass rush combination that the Giants have.
Right. Here you go. Tomlin, when he gets fired, like something like that.
Oh,
like,
yeah, maybe.
Like a fired head coach could go right to the Giants and or Mike McCarthy.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a good answer. What else, Billy?
Besides the 2 Super Bowls versus the Patriots, what's the first thing you think of when you hear New York Giants?
Okay, so Super Bowls are off the board.
Well, the past Super Bowls,
well,
right?
I'm sorry.
So the
yes,
two
yes,
past
yes.
Super Bowls. I
yes.
think so early Super Bowl memories for me were probably like the Giant, like that image of like Bill Parcells being carried off the field. Like that's like ingrained in my mind.
I don't remember that Super Bowl very well.
I remember
them
the
playing
one after
it back.
It.
Yeah, I remember Bills and Redskins. Apologies.
So
that's
I remember,
what they were called. But that's historically the name of the team. That's the first one I really
I remember that one more so too, but it was like that run where like all the Bills were always in the Super Bowl and they always lost. And the one super close one was the Giants, and then the whole thing with like they won it with their backup quarterback. So it's probably like early 90s Giants. And then later, like as a kid, I didn't really know all this, but later on when you're like, oh, Bill Belichick's the D coordinator and he shut down the keg on offense and blah, 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 blah. But probably that, probably like Parcells on the sideline of the Giants. And then when the Patriots got him, it was like, oh, that's the guy from the Giants.
Right.
And so, like, so that's probably my thing.
So that is a good one. The two I thought of. My my runner-up would just be when they got destroyed by the Ravens in the Super Bowl, whatever that was, 2000.
Oh, yeah, that was 2000 with Kerry Collins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one that really jumped into mind, and maybe, and Billy, I don't know if you saw this or Keith or Nick, but it was making the rounds on social media. I think it had been like whatever, however many years since the game. But the final regular season game in 96 when they came back against the Giants to secure the one seed, do you remember that?
Oh.
So they were down 22-0. Jason Sehorn,
nice.
Top 5 all-time Giant.
According to some.
Had a pick 6 to make it 22-0. They came back and scored 23 unanswered.
Wow.
Dave Meggett, a lot of suggestions for a Dave Meggett jersey.
Nah, so here's the thing about that.
That's probably not one to sport.
No, I have the Patriots one. I think I had to burn it.
Oh, you had to get rid of that one?
Yeah, he's a bad guy. He's a monster.
No buybacks.
Top 5 monsters.
On that one.
Yeah, that guy.
So Dave Meggett did have a 60-yard punt return in that game to bring the Patriots within 1. Bledsoe hit Ben Coates for the go-ahead touchdown.
Of course.
And they scored 23 unanswered to secure the 1 seed.
That's a good one.
That's not bad.
I think, once again, speaking of the jerseys, but Odell Beckham's catch, the insane catch that people that were like, oh, he made a career off that catch. He actually was really, really, really good for the first 4 years there. And then there was that combined with the picture of him on the boat. And they're like, they haven't won a game since that boat picture or whatever. Like, they haven't been to the playoffs. And I know a couple years ago they got there with Danny Dimes, but like, that was a run where they were kind of burning hot again. It was like the resurgence of the Giants there under Odell Beckham.
Okay. That is the Monday 4-pack. Which player would you want off the Giants? All-time Giants jersey. Again, maybe rethink your Dave Meggett answers there, text line.
Yeah, don't worry.
Next head coach of the Giants. And besides the 2 Pats Giants Super Bowls, what's the first thing you think of when you think of the Giants? You can discuss on the text line, weigh in the Twitch chat. At Jones and Keefe on Twitter and Instagram as well. Plus your phone call, 617-779-7937. We'll get back into that. And let's get back into Brian Burns, his criticism of Drake May and the Pats. Plus, how big is the gap between the Patriots and Giants? That's next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Giants edge rusher Brian Burns on Drake May. Poised? Maybe a little too poised. The second time we played that for you here on the show today. I do get
it's
what he means.
Too comfy back there.
Well, and I guess when I, if I'm thinking out what he's saying, the Steelers game is probably a good example of that, right?
Yep.
Where he's trying to make too many plays. And remember the aftermath of that game. Was it Cam Hayward? Who was it? I can't remember who came out. And they're like, yeah, the book on Drake May is he's loose with the football and he's going to fumble. So I do wonder some of that, like, is that Brian Burns kind of relaying what the coaching staff is seeing? And some of their coaching points are, yeah, he's going to keep plays alive. Like, he's going to lose track of you. So go in there, bat that thing out. We saw that against Pittsburgh. Now, it has not been exploited a lot this year. But I do wonder if the Giants, given their personnel on defense and given the Patriots' lack of personnel, Campbell's on IR, Wilson's ruled out for tonight. Garrett Bradbury, if you missed this news earlier today, is questionable with an illness. I imagine he plays. Who knows at what level? But that's another offensive lineman. If you're down him or if he's not playing at 100%, that's 60% of your O-line against one thing the Giants do well, which is rush the passer. Burns included.
I wish all my fellow DN brothers happy hunting.
That was on Mac Jones.
That was him. Yeah.
So I'm with him on
Mac Jones.
I'm with him on that one. He was like quite ahead of the curve when it came to Mac.
Yeah.
Maybe he's ahead of the curve on this too, but this one, even though I understand what he's trying to say.
Yeah, I think it got away from him a little bit.
I think
bit.
It's going to blow up in his face, yeah.
But this is a case of, like, he was just being honest. He was asked a question about Drake May. He's probably watched a ton of tape on Drake May all week, and then this is what he sort of came up with. And I think as he was saying it, he kind of was, like, walked back slightly, and then he was asked to follow up on it. But I think there is a lot of truth to what he said. You know, maybe this is a guy. So you see with some young quarterbacks, some are obviously the opposite. And they just run away, right? You know, first time there's their first read isn't there, they run or whatever else. And that's one thing. This is a guy that has gotten more time to throw this year compared to last year. He is looking for the deep ball, right? They put that in a lot. But he's also taken a ton of sacks. And so I think that's something that somebody like Brian Burns, who has 13 sacks in the season, has probably noticed. He's like, wow, this guy probably maybe should get rid of the ball right here, and he isn't. And he's kind of holding on to it a little bit longer, which I'm sure he loves seeing that. So, yeah, I think there's probably some truth to it. I don't think it was like this bulletin board material. At the same time, you can get thrown back in your face.
Oh, I would imagine it will. If the Patriots win handily or Drake May has a big game on Monday Night Football, which, you know, I think it could be a statement game for him. Although I said this going into the Jets game a few weeks ago, national audience, Thursday Night Football, it was a chance to make a statement. He had a statement drive in that game.
Uh-huh.
But May really didn't play great outside of one game against the Jets for a national audience. It's another chance to do it on the heels of Stafford having a bad week. Text line saying, guys, watch it. Don't be critical. That really sounds like a criticism. It's a stretch. I think the mounting criticism of Drake May, quote unquote, if you will, Stephen A. calling him a liar, Cam doesn't believe in them, they're fool's gold. That was more about the team.
Yeah.
But he's also had pointed criticism of May this year.
I don't think it's like the biggest criticism. I do think, though, it stands out from all the other guys. Athletic, he makes all the throws, he can do this, that, and the other
thing. How many coaches have been like, you know, what he does, you can see why he's a franchise quarterback? Or was it even, was it Aaron Glenn? There was a recent coach who was like, oh, yeah, you could see this coming last year. Like, you could see he's a franchise quarterback and you could see it. And
that's what we're looking for in quarterbacks, like that style of thing.
Yeah.
I've heard a lot of coaches say that, and maybe this is true. I would agree with you, Keefe. I think May has even echoed this at various points where he's like, I've taken too many sacks. I got to get the ball out quicker. I don't need to hang in and make a big play every single time. Or I try to make a big play every single time.
I think it's a pretty good analysis, honestly. Like, because you're wondering, like, all right, why is this? When you're looking at neck and neck, two quarterbacks who have been sacked the most this season, you have Cam Ward, who's on a 1-11 team. He has nobody to throw to.
He has a
horrible O-line.
Loses like 15 yards a sack.
All the time. Yeah. Right? It's like terrible. And then you're like, the next guy down is Drake May. You're like, well, why? Like, their team's 10-2. Like, what's going on? And that might be what it is. Like, he's so confident that he kind of can make a play that even when there isn't one, like, it doesn't faze him. So, I mean, that can be spun as sort of a strength. But we're talking about this going back a month ago. Be like, all right, maybe the next thing for him is, even though it's not a 12-yard loss, right? It usually isn't with Drake May. But maybe avoid the 3-yard loss. Maybe avoid the 4-yard loss. Like, maybe is there a split second sooner where you either throw it away or decide to run rather than take the number of sacks that he's taken?
Seth Walder at ESPN writes, how much of a gap between the Giants and Patriots is driven by their schedules? A lot of schedule talk.
Schedules.
With the Patriots this year. Easy schedule, which is true. Mm-hmm. Although they do have wins over Buffalo, currently a playoff team. They have win over Tampa Bay at Tampa and at Buffalo. Tampa currently a playoff team leading their division.
Yep.
They have a win over Carolina, who's 7-6. So, you know, it doesn't mean they played nobody, but they have played an easy schedule. I think both those things can be true. The Giants are 2-10. Pats are 10-2, right? Seth Walder. They're not even in the same stratosphere in the standings. The advanced numbers are also fond of the Patriots. Number one passing offense in terms of EPA. But ESPN's Football Power Index, Keith.
Yeah.
The
FPI.
The notorious FPI, thank you, still believes there's a much smaller gap between these two teams playing on Monday night because of their strength of schedule. No team has played an easier schedule than the Pats, according to ESPN's FPI, and no team has played a more difficult schedule than the Giants. Plus, on the snaps that Jackson Dart has played this year for the Giants, their EPA is roughly tied with the Seahawks for the 10th most efficient. So, when Dart's out there, pretty good offense, pretty good passing offense. Okay. Maybe some of their losses are masked by how difficult of a schedule they've played. Maybe the Patriots' wins are a little masked by how easy of a schedule there is. His contention is there's not much of a gap between these two teams. Agree or disagree?
I mean, maybe the record is pretty jarring, right? So maybe it's not the prototypical 10-2 versus 2-10. So you're expecting this to be a bloodbath. Although 7.5-point line by Vegas would sort of tell you that is one of the bigger spreads on the board all weekend long. Now, there are upsets. Don't get me wrong. It's the NFL, so it can happen. But Vegas isn't viewing this as like a 3-point game or a 4-point game. And so I don't know that. The Giants did fire their coach this year, so they didn't give him the, well, you have a tough schedule, Brian, so we're going to stick around. No, they fired him midseason. Some of their best players are gone. So when they've looked good, Cam Scataboo was running like crazy and was like a rookie of the year candidate. He's out. He's not playing. Malik Nabers is going back to the beginning of the year, but he was there, which is like a real number one receiver. He's also not there. Jackson Dart is starting tonight, so I think it does give them a better chance of winning, but I also know you never know how long he's going to last. So I think the gap is still pretty pretty good size. I would say maybe the Giants compared to other 1-2-3-win teams in the league, you could sort of weight how difficult their schedule is and say, you know what? They're better than the Raiders. They're better than the Titans. They're better than some of the other dog food teams in the league. That's fine. But they're still not like, oh, they just have buzzards luck with the schedule like they'd be a playoff team. I don't see that.
The caller earlier today brought up some of their close losses. I mean, Denver came way back against them in a game they absolutely should have won. They played the Niners to a one-score game. They played the Bears at Chicago to a one-score game. That's a game they should have won. Yeah.
No, Niners was 10. Chicago was 4.
Oh, can I
Green
not,
Bay was
can
7.
Can I not do math? I'm sorry. 34-24. I'm sorry.
No, but still, I mean, they weren't, like, blown out. They put up some points against them. That was a Dart game.
So, but I was just going to say, and even the two with Winston, and I honestly feel
math
this way.
Make math?
Yeah, sorry. I can't do math. I like Jackson Dart as a prospect. I wonder how much he's reined in coming back from the concussion issues.
Yeah.
And
he looked different.
I think, you know, maybe part of the reason Dayball's out of a job is because they couldn't protect Jackson Dart. So do they rein him in? And if they rein him in, what does he look like? I would give the Giants a better chance to win this game with Winston than I would with Dart. And I understand Winston could throw 4 picks and lose him the game. He could throw for 400 yards and 4 touchdowns and win him the game. I'd give him a better chance in that one than I would with Dart as a starter. They've won two games with Dart this year. They lost both Winston starts, but I would give him a better chance in that game. I also think, and you said this earlier, Keith, I think the letdown factor with the bye week right around the corner is not non-existent, but not as on notice as it could have been if they didn't play down to Cincinnati the week before. And this is a home game.
Yeah.
So I think those two things working in their nationally televised game,
yeah,
that should be relatively easy to get up for. Broncos won last night. You're still chasing them, if you will, to get the number one seed back in the AFC. I don't see much of a letdown factor here.
No. And it'll be interesting, though, because the Patriots have not really been able to run the ball great, and you would think you can run the ball against the Giants. It's something you brought up earlier. It's like, all right, what are they going to – are they going to be able to run against this team? I thought they could run against Cincinnati, and they really didn't.
And that was with – I mean, not an entirely healthy line. Wilson got hurt early in that game, but Campbell still played most of three quarters, and they couldn't run.
They gave up – so you know how the Patriots had that streak for a while where they weren't even giving up 50-yard rushers? Now that's since been broken a couple of times, but it's still like a lower number. The Giants earlier this year gave up 100 yards to two different backs with the Eagles in the same game. Saquon ran for 150. Tank Bigsby ran for 104 in the same game.
Nice.
Omarion Hampton went for 128. Against the Giants.
No, so you should be able to run on them,
but
except the Pats suck at running.
I'm gonna hold my breath.
They might be down three starters on the O-line.
Right, right.
So this one's going to be on Drake May's back, and it should be a statement game on national TV, and if you got to lean on him more scrambling and running this week because the Giants are going to have a pass rush and you're down on the O-line, I think this is a week to do it, but we'll see how it all plays out tonight. With your phone call, 617-779-7937. I say we'll see how it plays out.
I'll tell you.
No.
I'll tell you how.
Keith is going to tell you exactly how it plays out. Keith's Keys on a Monday next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.